Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1582. It's 8 p.m. Central Time on October the 1st, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, October the 2nd at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0. And we already have Carl, WD5JRD, up there in Jersey Village. We have any other check-ins? Okay, it looks like you're the number one, Carl. And there is... might have seen it on the news, they've mentioned towards the end of the net there's going to be a visible ISS pass for people in the Houston area, and that's going to be go outside, look out to the northwest at about 8:45 p.m. and at a 45 degree angle, and you should see it appear, and it will be about a 3-minute pass, and then it will eclipse out of the sun sunlight, and so you'll be able to see it wink out. So that happens at 8:51. So that's something to check out. And again, that's a visible ISS pass here in the Houston area at starting at 8:48, and the eclipse is at 8:51. Okay, let's see. We don't really have any South Texas balloon team information other than their weekly or monthly meeting that they have happens on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's usually an eyeball meeting here at a local restaurant about 4:30 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time, there is the Zoom meeting that takes place. And that's over at k5wh.net/zoom. So we appreciate Walter making that available and keeping the activities of the South Texas Balloon Launch Team going. Okay, we're going to switch over here to ANS bulletins. And the AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And this is ANS Bulletin number 273, and this comes from Mitch Ehrensdorf. So we want to thank him, and of course he's AD0HJ. Okay, the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins through the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, and this is ANS Bulletin number 273 of the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins. 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting will be held on Friday through Sunday, October 25th through the 27th, 2024. That's at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa, Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. And you can have a direct link to go and register, and that's at launch.amsat.org/event-5833792. Of course, normally the URL, you can just go over to amsatnet.com, but Bruce reports that there is some issues tonight with the website, so he's planning on getting that straightened out tomorrow night, so the links might not be available for a night or two. We'll just deal with that, but we appreciate Bruce keeping the website going there, all that stuff happening. Okay, for the symposium, you can reserve a room by going to www.hilton.com/en/attend-my-event/radioamateur-satellite. If you're interested in presenting or submitting a paper, there's the Call for Papers webpage, and that's over at www.amsat.org/2024-symposium/call-for-papers-2024. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Yeah, you can call and make a quick phone check-in into the net, and the number to do so is 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say, or that email address is WV5Y@comcast.net. Okay, AMSAT UK is to provide FunCube Lite payload for Jovian 1 satellite. AMSAT UK has announced it will provide a FunCube Lite payload for the Jovian 1 satellite featuring a UV-FM voice transponder. Jovian 1, a 6U CubeSat, is being developed by Space South Central, a space cluster in the UK. The project is a collaboration between industry and academic institutions aimed at supporting the region's space sector. Jovian-1 is part of the JUPITER program, which stands for Joint Universities Program for In-Orbit Training, Education, and Research. The program involves the universities of Surrey, Portsmouth, and Southampton, and offers students direct experience in the space sector. JUPITER prepares participants for careers in space with a focus on practical training in satellite design and operations. The FunCube Lite payload will collect telemetry the satellite subsystems, including radiation sensor readings and GPS information. The data will be transmitted to schools and colleges using the FunCube data format. This will help track radiation levels across the satellite's orbit and assess radiation effects on onboard electronics. Students from Space South Central will design, build, test, and launch the Jovian 1 satellite. The satellite will use commercial S and X bands for its main communication through a ground station at Surrey University. The FunCube Lite payload will operate on UHF and VHF amateur radio frequencies. when not gathering telemetry, it can switch to a UV mode FM voice transponder, enabling communication for radio amateurs. The project emphasizes the role of regional space clusters in advancing the UK space industry. Space South Central represents over 170 space-related businesses in the region. The mission allows students to conduct satellite operations from the University of Surrey's ground station, bridging academic study with hands-on experience. More information about the Jovian 1 mission and the FunCube Light payload will be shared at the AMSAT UK Colloquium on October 12th through 13th, 2024.
BL-123.
The event will provide detailed updates on the satellite's development and its technical components, offering insights for anyone interested in amateur radio and satellite communications. And for more information, there's Space South Central, which is at spacesouthcentral.com, University of Surrey, which is at surrey.ac.uk, University of Portsmouth, port.ac.uk, University of Southampton, which is southampton.ac.uk. And we want to thank Dave Johnson, G4DPZ, Honorary Secretary of AMSAT UK, for the that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. AMSAT EA, Hades R, and Hades ICM are planned for the first quarter of 2025. AMSAT EA has announced the upcoming launch of two new satellites, Hades-R and Hades-ICM, which will be made available to radio amateurs in early 2025. These satellites are set to replace the current Hades-D, which is SO-121 satellite in orbit. Unlike Hades-D, which transmits at a power level of 40 milliwatts, the new satellites will have variable transmission power reaching up to, theoretically, 250 milliwatts when fully charged. The Hades-R and Hades-ICM satellites, classified as 1.5P pocket cubes, will be launched by SpaceX on its Transporter 12 and Transporter 13 missions. The launches will utilize D-Orbit's Ion Orbital Transfer Vehicle, or the OTV, with mission management provided by Alpha Orbital, a Scottish company specializing in satellite launch solutions. As with previous AMSAT EA projects, these satellites have been developed with the support of private companies and universities. Both satellites will support a wide range of communications capabilities, including FM voice, FSK, FT4, and FT8 modes. They will also be equipped to handle AX.25 APRS communications at both 300 and 1200 BPS. The uplink for the satellites will be in the VHF band, while the downlink will operate in the UHF band. Additionally, the satellites will transmit telemetry data, including status updates, voice messages, and CW messages. All communications will be managed through an SDR-based FM and FSK repeater, which will be available at all times, activated by squelch level, without the need for a subtone. In addition to their primary communications functions, both satellites will carry a scientific experiment from the Smart IR / Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, or the GEIC, at the University of Manchester. This experiment will test a very low-power active radiator under space conditions. Hades ICM has received sponsorship from IC Mercury, or Interstellar Communications Holdings, based in Florida, and will feature several challenge mission messages embedded within the FSK telemetry. While the Hades-R satellite has already been coordinated by the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, Hades-ICM is still pending approval. Okay, we want to thank Felix Paez, AE4GQS, President Mission Manager of AMSAT-EA, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. And we're a little bit past quarter to the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby, take a look around, and see we've got checking in through some of our other means here. Okay, we did hear from Andrew, KC5LWI. He's down there in Galveston, just a little bit before the net and on the landline. And sounds like he's getting ready for a good night this evening. So we appreciate him calling and checking in. And then, let's see, we haven't talked to Charlie lately still, K5ENG. So we're going to have to take care of that, see how he's doing. We've got Kai in 6ZZO. He did leave a message this week checking in. And, of course, he's one of our podcast listeners. And he checks in, and usually on Wednesdays, and he's out there in McKinleyville, California. So good evening out there to Kai. Okay, looks like we don't have any messages off of APRS there to WV5Y. So it's been a while since we've had any APRS check-ins. Okay, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and I think Bob, K8WX, is usually kicking around there somewhere as well. Okay, let's see, from Echolink, we've got Mitch, 80HJ, and of course he's tonight's editor, so we appreciate him doing that for us. He's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. Of course, he also does the Wednesday night AMSATnet that takes place on DMR, and that happens on the AMSAT Digital Talk Group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch doing the Wednesday night AMSATnet there on DMR. Let's see, we've also got Steve, KA5YFC, and Dave, WB7DRU. Good evening to Dave. He's up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And he's been with us there listening for many years since we actually had a landline connection up there to a repeater in Minnesota. And he's been with us all the way since back then. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. NASA is set to launch the Europa Clipper mission, a groundbreaking effort to explore Jupiter's icy moon, Europa. Slated for liftoff as early as the October 10th of 2024, the spacecraft will be carried into space by a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The mission aims to uncover the mysteries of Europa's hidden ocean and assess whether the moon could host conditions favorable for life. Europa Clipper's journey will take 6 years to reach the Jupiter system. Once there, it will enter an orbit around Jupiter, performing dozens of flybys of Europa. The spacecraft's suite of instruments will probe beneath the moon's icy shell to study its subsurface ocean. By mapping the moon and investigating its potential habitability, NASA hopes to shed light on one of the most intriguing questions in planetary science, whether life could exist on other worlds.
DL-123.
The mission is significant because Europa is thought to possess all the ingredients necessary for life. Beneath its thick ice lies a vast salty ocean, which may contain more water than all of Earth's oceans combined. The moon's subsurface environment could offer the energy, liquid water, and organic compounds required to support life. Although Europa is smaller than Earth's moon, its potential to harbor a habitable environment makes it a prime target for exploration. To reach Jupiter, Europa Clipper will rely on two gravity assists. In 2025, it will pass within 1,000 kilometers of Mars to adjust its trajectory, followed by a close flyby of Earth in 2026.
W5BSA repeater.
All right, we got a check in there from Vern, W0RCR, off the phone lines just now. And, of course, he's over there in Wentzville, Missouri. And, of course, thanks to him, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band on. Okay, back to Europa Clipper, and it's using its gravity assist, and it'll pass by the Earth. And well, first it'll go by Mars, and then it'll fly by Earth in 2026. These maneuvers will boost the spacecraft's speed and guide it toward the Jupiter system, where it is expected to arrive in 2030. Ahead of orbiting Europa directly, the spacecraft will remain in orbit around Jupiter, occasionally dipping into the planet's intense radiation field for close encounters with Europa. Once in the Jupiter system, Europa Clipper will conduct over 40 flybys of Europa, approaching as close as 25 kilometers above its surface. Spacecraft instruments are designed to withstand the harsh radiation environment, with most being housed in a protective radiation vault. Each flyby will gather detailed data, providing new insights into the moon's ice-covered ocean and the possibility of life beneath its surface. The spacecraft science instruments include ice-penetrating radar to map Europa's icy shell and magnetic sensors to confirm the presence of its ocean. High-resolution cameras and spectrometers will analyze the moon's surface and search for water vapor plumes that may erupt from below. Although Europa Clipper is not officially a life detection mission, it promises to transform our understanding of habitability beyond the Earth. And we want to thank the Planetary Society and Kate Howells. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now, so you can help support golf and Fox Plus by buying some. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, the Artificial Star mission aims to help unlock secrets of the universe. NASA is embarking on an ambitious mission that could reshape our understanding of the universe with the help of a small human-made satellite. Researchers at George Mason University are leading a $19.5 million NASA-funded project to launch an artificial star into space. The goal of this satellite, once it reaches orbit, is to appear as a star to telescopes on Earth, allowing scientists to gather more precise data on stellar brightness. The mission could unlock critical insights into the age, size, and scale of stars, offering fresh clues about the expansion of the universe and even the potential for extraterrestrial life. The so-called artificial star will be positioned in geostationary orbit approximately 22,236 miles from Earth. While it won't be visible to the naked eye, telescopes will be able to track the satellite as it moves at the same speed as Earth's rotation, staying positioned over the U.S. Named in honor for the late astronomer Arlo Landolt, known for his work in stellar calibration, the satellite will spend its first year in space using advanced technology to monitor the brightness of millions of stars. This will allow astronomers to refine existing models for measuring stellar evolution and the universe's expansion. Equipped with a sophisticated array of lasers, the satellite will serve as a controlled reference point for researchers on Earth. It will enhance the accuracy of brightness measurements, providing data that cannot be gathered from ground-based telescopes alone. According to Peter Plofchun, the primary investigator of the Landolt NASA space mission at George Mason, this mission represents a breakthrough in how stars and even distant supernova are studied. Such measurements can only be achieved by a space-based orbiting artificial star, Plofchun said. The mission, part of NASA's Pioneers program, marks a significant milestone for George Mason University. This is the university's first time leading such a mission, with NASA providing oversight and key technical support. George Mason is collaborating with the National Institute of Standards and Technology and 10 other universities to develop the satellite, which will face significant engineering challenges in high orbit. Our team will design, build, and integrate the payload, said Peter Paschewitz, an engineering professor at George Mason. It's an incredibly exciting opportunity. One of the broader goals of the Landolt mission is to contribute to the search for habitable planets. For analyzing how stars influence planetary environments, the satellite could help scientists better understand where in the universe conditions might be suitable for life. Astronomers are particularly interested in so-called habitable or Goldilocks zones, where planets could have the right conditions, neither too hot nor too cold, to support liquid water, a key ingredient for life. Understanding how stars affect these zones is essential to identifying planets that may harbor life. While the mission has the potential to revolutionize the field of astronomy, it also poses big challenges. Finding definitive evidence of life beyond Earth requires precise measurements of stellar properties, such as how much energy a star emits and how close a planet is to that star. There are so many big questions in astronomy. How did we get here? Are there other planets like ours? Do aliens exist? Said Jamie Tayar, an astronomer at the University of Florida, a partner in the mission. With the launch of the artificial star planned for 2029, the team hopes to get one step closer to answering these profound questions. And we want to thank Aaron Legata of USA Today for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. We're down to the list. So, are you on the list? This is the Gridmaster Map Satellite Top 100 Rovers, the October 2024 rankings. The October 2024 rankings for the top 100 rovers, mixed low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary in satellite operations, as determined by @GridmasterMap on X, has been released. The ranking is determined by the number of grids and DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where a minimum number of QSOs logged on the gridmaster.fr website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. Satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world's satellite contacts to gridmaster.fr in order to provide more accurate data. And this is updated 9/27/2024. Okay, in first place we have here on the list ND9M. Congratulations. In second we've got NJ7H, then JA9KRO, UT1FG, N5UC, LDL6AP, OE3SEU, WI7P, DP0POL, K5ZM, N6UA, HA3FOK, WY7AA, N9IP, WF5PFG, AK8CW, DL2GRC, AD0DX, F5VMJ, N4AKV, WD9EWK, NB0C, and there's Mitch, AD0HJ, in position number 23. We've got LU5ILA and DJ8MS rounding out the first top 20, the first 25.
DL123.
Okay, then we got KX9X, ON4AUC, KG5CCI, N5BO, KABL, KE4AL, KB5FHK, VE3HLS, KI0KB, KI7UNJ, LA9XGA, F4BKV, PA3GAN, JO2ASQ, N7AGF, BA1PK, VK5DG, XE3DX, KE0WPA, POQ, K7TAB, KE0PVR, VA3VGR, AC0RA, and W7WGC, rounding out the first half, number 50. Okay, position 51, we have N6DMM, JK2XXK, EV1AO, SM3NRY, EA4NF, JL3RNZ, XE1ET, AA5PK, DF2ET, XI7QEK, SP5XSD, FOUT4DXV, AD7DB, VE1CWJ, KE9AJ, N8RO, VH7LM, KM4LAO, W1AW, W8LR, N4UFO, DL4EA, HB9GWJ, PT2AP, and M1DDD. Okay, and in the last 25, last quarter, we have in position 76, we have LU4JVE, AA8CH, VE1VOX, FG8OJ, PT9BM, KJ7NDY, KI7UXT, YU0W, KB2YSI, N6UTC, there's NDOF. We got WA9JBQ, N4DCW, JM1CAX, VE3GOP, N0TEL, KG4AXB, N6VHF, K0FFY, CU2ZG, VE7PTN, AF5CC, VE6WK, W8MTB, VK9JC, and BG7QIW in position number 100. And we want to thank at Gridmaster Map for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AmSat store. And when you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And they have a special discount deal there worked out between M2 and AmSat. So you're getting a bit of a discount in there too as well. And you can go right to the URL. It's amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. And looks like this week there are no additions or deletions to the AmSat TLE distribution. But two-line elements, or TLEs often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information, and that's right over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And we want to thank the AmSat Orbital Elements page for that information. Okay, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in on all the action, it's 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, we've got some recently completed contacts between schools and the ISS. We have the Amur State University in Bangladesh, Russia, direct via RK0J. The ISS call sign was RS0ISS. The scheduled crew member was Ivan Wagner, the ARIS mentor RV3DR, and the contact was successful Tuesday, 9/24/2024 at 9:24 UTC. And then we had a contact to Tatarstan, Russia, direct station to be determined. The ISS call sign was RS0ISS. Scheduled crew member was Alexei Ovchinin. The ARIS Mentor, RV3DR, and the contact was Friday, 9/27/2024 at 1320 UTC. And then there's the Khazar University in Dunya School in Baku, Azerbaijan, direct via K46EH. ISS call sign was OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member was Sunita Williams, KD5PLB. And ARIS Mentor is IN3GHZ. And the contact was successful on 9/28/2024 at 09/13/29 UTC. Yeah, that'd be a good thing. What they should do with Sunita and Butch, the guys that are stuck up there, they should just make them man the ham radio station for a while. That would work out. Yeah. Okay, we've got some upcoming contacts. Let's see. No, this one already happened. We've got the Chihoko Ana Aho Clean and Simple and the Cultural and Leisure Center Flying Saucer, Cheshyokovo, Russia, direct. The ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Alexander Gorbunov. The ARIS Mentor is RV3DR and the contact is Friday, 10/4/2024 at 10:50 UTC. There's Girl Guiding Surrey West County, Shepperton, UK, direct via GB4GGB. ISS call sign scheduled to be NA1SS, and the crew member Sunita Williams, KD5PLB. The ARIS Mentor is M0XTD, and the contact is Saturday, 10/5/2024 at 1306/22 UTC. And you can watch for a live stream, and that's at live.aris.org. Okay, there's the Center de Formation de las Bases Aériennes de Payern, Switzerland, direct via HB9SBACE. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS, and the crew member is Mike Barrett, KD5MIJ. The ARIS Mentor is IN3GHC. Contact us go for 10/5/2024, Saturday at 14:44:48 UTC.
CL-123 213 RCSCC
Kuapel Royal Canadian Sea Cadet Corp in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada has telebridge via K6DUE. The ISS call sign is scheduled to be NA1SS. The scheduled crew member is Jeanette Epps, KF5QNU, and the ARIS Mentor is VE6JBJ. And the contact is go for 10/5/2024 at 1606.05 UTC. Okay, the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a TLPL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink of 437.800 MHz. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when you might end up talking to one of the astronauts. The packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down. Appers is currently online, but may be impacted for an experiment in the service module after September the 27th. As always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note, all the times that we list are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-the-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. A growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. And looks like the ISS thing should be happening like right about now. It should be passing over, let's see. Now we're in about a minute here from heads up. So once again, 8:48. There's a visible ISS pass here in the Houston area, and that's like now. So go outside, look to the northwest at 45 degrees, and then after 3 minutes at 8:51, you'll see it go into eclipse as it leaves the sunlight, and you'll see it blink out. Okay, we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for the upcoming satellite operations information, and there are none currently listed. AmSat ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, just completed presenting my satellite show to the Sandton Amateur Radio Club in South Africa via Zoom. And what a marvelous group they are. Keith, ZS6HI, was my contact. Great questions throughout from the Zoom audience. From Keith, thank you very much, Clint and Karen. Wonderful presentation. You did a lot of research and preparation to put a South African spin on the presentation and spent effort on learning about the SARL, Sandton Club, and South African Amateur Radio Community beforehand. SARL is South Africa's AARL, and there is an active AMSAT chapter there, too. And Clint says that was presentation number 175, and more are scheduled. So do you think a lively, informative, and fun presentation on working the Easy satellites with minimal equipment would be appropriate for your club or convention? You can contact Clint Bradford, K6LCS, AMSAT Ambassador, ARRL Affiliated Club Coordinator, Benefactor, and that's at work-sat.com, or you can call 909-999-7287. Okay, for things going on, we've got the North Star Radio Convention, October the 5th, 2024, at the Hennepin Technical College North Campus at 9000 Brooklyn Boulevard in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55445. And the URL is convv2023.tcfmc.org. And there should be an AMSAT forum and table by K0JM and AD0HJ. Okay, then on also October the 5th, there's the Central Kentucky Ham Fest at the Highland Baptist Church, 2032 Parallel Road, Lexington, Kentucky, 40502. And they've got a Facebook group or page. That's at www.facebook.com/W9KHZ. And there should be an AMSAT and Educational Satellites Forum and an information table by AI4SR and W4FCL. Okay, we've got the Radio Society of Tucson, also October the 5th, the Calvary Tucson Church, 8711 East Speedway Boulevard, Tucson, Arizona, 85710, and that's at ksevenrst.club/2024/07/tucson-autumn-ham-fest-2024. And putting all the stuff there for that one should be N1UW. Okay, then there's PacificCon 2024, the ARRL Pacific Division Conference, October the 18th through the 20th, 2024, at the San Ramon Marriott, 2600 Bishop Drive in San Ramon, California, 94583, and the URL is www.pacificcon.org. And you should see action there from WU0I. Okay, there's the 2024 AMSAT Space Symposium, an annual general meeting, the big meeting there for AMSAT, and that's October 25th to the 27th, 2024, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront, and that's 3050 North Rocky Point Drive West, Tampa, Florida, 33607, and you can find information at www.amsat.org. Okay, we've got the Stone Mountain Ham Fest, the ARRL State Convention, on November the 2nd and the 3rd, 2024, at the Gwinnett County Fairgrounds, 2405 Sugarloaf Parkway in Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30042, and that's at stonemountainhamfest.com, and the table should be put on by K4RGK. Okay, then we've got the Oro Valley Amateur Radio Club, November the 9th, 2024, at the Marana Middle School, 11285 West Greer Road in Marana, Arizona, 85653. And that's www.tucsonhamradio.org/copy-of-hamfest-2022. And also, this one should be done by N1UW. As well as the Yuma HamCon, February 20th through the 22nd, 2025, in Yuma, Arizona. Okay, we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for giving us those listings. Hey, do you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is right over at www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_K. here.
CL123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Congratulations are in order for Jerry Oliver, KJ4EU, for his impressive accomplishments in earning Gridmaster Award number 70. This esteemed recognition, initiated by Starcom Group in 2014 and backed by Damon Runyon, WA4HFN, and Rick Tillman, WA4NVM, has now been entrusted to AmSat for the benefit of the entire amateur satellite community. The Gridmaster Award celebrates radio amateurs worldwide who achieve two-way communication via amateur satellite with operators in all 488 Maidenhead grids across the contiguous United States of America. For more details on this distinguished award, you can visit the AmSat website at www.amsat.org/gridmaster. Jerry, your achievement is truly commendable. Well done. ANS thanks Bruce Page, KK5DO, AmSat Director of Contests and Awards, for that information. We got another congratulations going out to Nina Ruthmuller, DL2GRC, for her outstanding achievements in providing satellite contacts. Nina has roved an impressive 102 grid squares, earning her the AmSat VUCCR Award number 18. The Reverse VUCC or VUCCR Award, originally introduced by the Central States VHF Society and now carried on by AmSat, recognizes the dedication of satellite rovers like Nina. For more information about this prestigious award, you can visit the AmSat website at www.amsat.org/reverse-vucc-or-vucc-r-award. Keep on roving, Nina, and continue to inspire others in the AmSat community with your remarkable achievements. And ANS thanks Bruce Page, KK5VO, AmSat Director of Contests and Awards, for that information. NASA astronaut Tracy C. Dyson, along with Roscosmos cosmonauts Oleg Kononenko and Nikolai Chubb, successfully returned to Earth on September the 23rd after landing in Kazakhstan aboard the Soyuz MS-25 spacecraft. Dyson spent 184 days aboard the International Space Station as part of Expedition 70 and 71, completing 2,944 orbits and covering 78 million miles. Chubb and Kononenko, who spent 374 days in space, returned after an extensive mission spanning 5,984 orbits and 158.6 million miles. Notably, Kononenko set a record with over 1,111 cumulative days in space across five missions.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, you can join AmSat today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AmSat offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and to help remember to keep amateur radio in space, that's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. and that's MAHRENSTORFF at AMSAT.org. That won't work. Okay, well, we hope everybody enjoyed tonight's version of the Houston AMSAT.net. Hopefully you went outside, got to see the ISS passing over Houston. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3s for this week from the Houston AMSAT.net.